Today we hear the very famous parable, the prodigal son. And what I'd like to do today is to look at this parable, the prodigal son, but particularly how it relates to the sacrament of confession. There should be no doubt or surprise to anyone that the sacrament of confession is at this moment one of the most understood, least understood, and most underappreciated of all the sacraments. We have very long lines for communion, but very short lines for confession. Many do not go on a regular basis. Many have been away for years. And so what I want to do is look at some of the reasons that people use to stay away from confession, why they do not frequent it as they should in light of the parable of the prodigal son. One of the first reasons, and it's often a very unspoken reason why people do not frequent the sacrament of confession, is that they think, or at least on a subconscious level, that sin is really not that big of a deal. God is all-powerful and almighty. He can handle it. Our sin really doesn't impact him. Besides, they can look in their lives and they don't seem to feel that God has punished them in any way for the sins they're committing, so they figure God is okay with it and they can continue on with their life. But if we look a little bit deeper, by analyzing this parable, we understand why sin is such a big deal. Because we not only believe in God, who is all-powerful and almighty, but Christ has revealed to us that God is our Father. The Father in today's parable is God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who nourishes us, who cherishes us. And so if we really understand what's going on in the parable, by the prodigal son saying, "Give me my inheritance now," what he's really saying is, "Dad, I wish you were dead." When does a son get his inheritance? Whenever the parents have died. So the prodigal son is really saying, "Father, I wish you were dead. Give me the money now so I can go live my life as I wish." Imagine, fathers here, if your son told you that, in essence, that he wishes you were dead and he didn't want you to have anything to do with his life. Imagine how that would hurt you. Imagine what a crushing blow. So in the same sense, whenever we choose to sin, we're saying the same thing. "God, I wish you were dead. I don't want you involved in my life." And because he's not just God, he is our Father. It does indeed impact him. His children saying that we wish he was not alive. This should be the first reason we understand that sin is a big deal, of how it does impact God, who is our Father. But even more when we look at the situation of the prodigal son. Here he is, homeless, destitute. He is feeding pigs. Pigs were considered in the Old Testament the filthiest, the most despicable, the dirtiest of all animals. A Jew, in fact, was prohibited from associating with swine. And so what the parable is saying is that through his sin, the prodigal son, prodigal meaning spending everything he had needlessly and recklessly, is that he ends up worse than these animals. He ends up on the same level, wanting to eat with the animals, jealous of what the animals have to eat. In fact, you could argue he sees himself as even worse than the animals. And so this shows us what sin does to us. When we give our lives over to sin, it not only impacts God, but it destroys the dignity we have as creatures created in the image and likeness of God. We reduce ourselves to beasts, to animals, giving ourselves over to sin, giving ourselves over to passion. So yet, we in fact impact ourselves too, but quite often we don't even realize it. I think probably one of the more profound phrases in today's gospel is after the son is there feeding the pigs, what does he say? Or what does scripture say? Coming to his senses. He all of a sudden realized, it was like he woke up and said, "I don't need to be in this situation." He realized how pathetic his life had become. He came to his senses. He was blind before. And so many individuals who are mired in sin, who think that they have it great, that sin doesn't really impact them, it's time for us to come to our senses and really realize what sin does to God the Father and what sin does to our lives. This is the real key moment of conversion and returning to the Lord. The second thing or reason that I often hear for people avoiding the sacrament of confession is that I don't need to confess my sins to a priest. I can confess them straight to God. Now, it's fine if I hear that from a Protestant or a non-denominational, but I often hear it from Catholics. Father, I don't need to confess my sins to a priest. I'm confessing them straight to God. So I want to encourage you, if that would be your opinion, or if you know someone who has that opinion, to think about this for a moment. What if we, on earth, did something to hurt our earthly father, or our earthly mother, or a brother or sister, or a very, very close friend? We did something to really injure them. Is it good enough for us to say, you know, I'm really sorry for doing that. God, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry in my heart, but not go and talk to the person that we hurt? Not go and confront them and express our sorrow to them face to face? It simply doesn't work that way. It's not enough just to simply feel sorrow in our hearts and maybe even express it in our minds. We've got to confront the individual whom we have injured. And if we understand that we have injured God our Father, then we need to confront Him in a certain way. So look at the Son today in the parable. He doesn't say, oh, wait a second, I've come to my senses. I'm sorry for what I've done. Let me go change my life. No, the first thing he does before he changes his life is he has to return to the Father and apologize for what he has done. Now, many people will say, Father, I can understand this. It makes sense, but yet God is in heaven. He hears me. He's a spiritual being. He knows that I'm sorry for what I do. Besides, he's not right there in front of me. I can't apologize like I could to someone else. But we've got to go back to that earthly example and then even more tie it back to the prodigal son. When we come and face to face with a person whom we have hurt, whom we have injured, and we ask for forgiveness, if we're going to really be serious and think about it, we realize that we don't so much do it for them, but we do it for ourselves. Think of the times that maybe you have hurt someone that you really love. Until you get the chance to confront them, as frightened as you may be, and not only to say you're sorry, but to hear those words, I forgive you. It's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. We often have the butterflies in our heart. Sometimes we can't sleep. Our conscience bothers us. We have to not only say we're sorry, but more importantly even, hear the words, I forgive you. To be able to hear the forgiveness in the tone of the voice, to be able to see it in the eyes of the individual that we've hurt, even to feel that embrace, we must experience in a very tangible way the forgiveness that the individual that we have hurt grants to us. And so if we confess our sins straight to God, there's no way we can feel that embrace. There's no way that God can communicate, or He chooses not to communicate, that tenderness, that forgiveness to us directly. We can't experience even more. We can say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. Please, I'm sorry. How do you know He forgives you? How do you know He's still not up there angry and doesn't think your forgiveness is actually good? The sky doesn't open up. Jesus doesn't appear in your room. You're going to have to go through your entire life questioning whether or not the Lord has really forgiven you. And so that's why Christ has given us the sacrament of confession. Not so much so that He needs to hear that we're sorry, but He gives it to us because we need that tangible presence of the priest who is the Father, standing in the presence or in the person of Christ, but even more importantly here in the persons of God the Father, that tangible presence, we can hear the words, we can feel assured that we've been forgiven, and that we can encounter that mystical embrace of God, our Heavenly Father. It's the same thing. Everything that goes on today in the gospel of the prodigal son through the sacrament of confession, God wants us to experience. The Father just doesn't say, "All right, son, I forgive you. Go about your business." No, he embraces him. He lets him feel and be assured of the forgiveness. And through the sacrament of confession, that's why Christ wants us to go to a priest, so that we can be assured through the words of absolution that we are forgiven. The words of absolution, the encounter of the priest, sort of like a mystical embrace of God, our heavenly and merciful Father. The final reason is this. Not only have we now had our minds put at ease, we can feel comfortable once again that we've heard those words, "Yes, I forgive you for what you've done." But in my experience, that reason that I don't want to go to confession because I think I can go straight to Jesus is a false reason. That something lies deeper at the reason that people specifically today do not go to confession as they should. And that reason is ultimately because they're scared. They're frightened. They're scared that maybe the priest is going to yell at them, or the priest is going to break the seal of confession and laugh at them and tell everybody what sins they committed. Or, I think even worse, they're scared to admit that they're sinners and imperfect and embarrass themselves in front of another person. That's the real reason. And so I think, too, if we look at the gospel, it's the same with the prodigal son. He realizes what's wrong. He realizes that he could have life a lot better, that he's offended his father to a certain degree, so he manufactures this apology. "I'm going to go to him and I'm going to tell him that I've sinned against you and against heaven. Make me one of your slaves." Why? Because he's too scared to go up to the father thinking that maybe the father is going to kick him out and send him back out into the streets, that the father might hit him or abuse him or scream at him, or that he doesn't want to make himself, the prodigal son that is, look too bad by facing the father and seeing the father might be disappointed in the way that he squandered his wealth. But what happens? Does the father scream and yell at him? No. Does the father ridicule him? No. Instead, the father doesn't even wait for him to finish his apology. He runs out to him because he's waiting for him to return. He sees him at the distance and comes and embraces him and throws this big celebration. I can assure you, particularly those, and you could get the testimony of those in here who maybe have been away for confession for a long time and have come back to confession, that priests rejoice whenever there is someone who's been away for confession from a long time and comes back to the merciful embrace of the Father. As I've said before, we call them the big fish. The people who've been away for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If I have someone who comes to me and says, "Father, it's been 20 years, that is the total highlight of my day. And I think that any priest would tell you the same thing, because why do we sit and wait in that tiny little dark box so that we can yell and scream at people? No, I can yell and scream at people right here from the pulpit. I don't need to wait in a box to do that. I do that so that I can give people God's mercy and the assurance that they have been forgiven. Remember what Scripture says, there's more joy in heaven over the one repentant sinner than the 99 who do not sin. God the Heavenly Father and the priest who represents God the Heavenly Father on earth rejoices whenever people come to confession, particularly after a very, very long time. So this message is particularly important, I believe, during this season of Lent. The season of Lent when we are encouraged to repent from our sins, to receive God's mercy, and to prepare ourselves for the act of redemption of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. So I hope that individuals in here have been away for confession for a long time, have manufactured excuses for staying away, to realize now is the time to return to confession. Particularly during Lent, God gives tremendous graces for those who return and are truly sorry for their sins. So if you have not done it yet this Lent, or if you have not done it for a very, very long time, I invite you to be like that prodigal son, no matter what you've done, to return to the sacrament of confession. Amen.